welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again, this time on time, but still sick.
Yeah.
The crud, the illness, the disgustingness mm-hmm. has lingered in the Haunt Weekly towers. We have been in increasingly worse health around, except for you, who of course brought it into the house.
Yeah.
You've been getting increasingly better. Everyone else has been like in various stages of death.
Yeah, well, this is my third week with it, so I should be getting better.
Yes, but anyways. So if I sound more nasally, congestiony, and I make more coughs and sniffles and snorts and things, you know why.
Yeah.
Blame Crystal.
Exactly.
That's what basically it comes down to blame Crystal. But of course, that's kind of like everything. Blame Crystal. I find that strategy very effective in my personal life. I don't see why you object to it, Crystal.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, once again,
as long as I get the credit for the things that are good, too.
No. But once again, this is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All of our past episodes are available there for easy listening pleasure. We're also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere else finer podcasts are distributed. All right, now, this is episode 168, and it kind of snuck up on us this time.
It did a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. We were caught a little bit off guard, but we realized 168 is divisible by 4. That means it's time to do
the news.
And we're going to do it in just a minute. But first things first, we have to get through our conference reminders.
We do.
It is an even number. That means I begin. So sniffle, snort, here we go. Coming up just next week. This weekend, actually, February 23rd and 24th in Pomona, California, at the Fairplex, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo. They'll be touring Coffin Creek, both lights on and lights off, and it'll also feature a costume ball. Haunt X, that's the word haunt and the letter X.com for more information.
Okay, then February 27th through March 2nd, it's the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma City. They will be starting at the Westin Dallas Fort Worth Airport Hotel, touring various mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstain Farm, and more. TheMaze.com, M-A-I-Z-E, for more info.
And then after that, March 21st through the 24th in St. Louis, Missouri, is Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show at the America Center, co-located with Transworld's Christmas Show. For reasons.
Yep.
I just actually saw today people in Haunters Hangout and elsewhere complaining about that co-hosting.
Or at least mentioning it, yes.
We're not the only ones that have observed this.
No.
Anyways, there'll be tours of Darkness and Limp Brewery, both behind the scenes. It also features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by Vampire Circus on Friday, and a Vampire Ball on Saturday. The Ha Show, HAASHOW.com for more information. Letters have meaning, Jonathan. Letters have meaning. Come on, you can do this.
Okay. May 10th through the 12th, it's West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. They will be touring Nightmare Factory Haunted House, also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival with a secret selection of films.
And
HauntersConvention.com, that's Haunters with an S, for more info.
And a quick apology, we have been saying the wrong tour destination forever on this one.
Yes.
Because it was not updated on the site till fairly recently.
Right.
So it's not technically our fault. We got a heads up about it. And then I made the change, but then I didn't reuse that conference list the next time we went into it.
Yeah.
And then I forgot to do it for the next 2 weeks because I'm stupid.
Yeah, but hopefully that's correct now.
It is.
If it's not, let us know.
It is now totally their fault. They do not get a second chance at this, or third, or whatever chance it is at this.
Yes.
Okay. No,
yes,
no.
You're the only one with multiple chances.
Yes, apparently.
To get it right.
All right. After that, May 17th through the 19th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory. The building looks incredibly kick-ass.
Yeah, it does.
In Mansfield, Ohio, they'll be touring three haunted attractions. Hauntville, the Hudson House, and Haunted Hydro. Also featuring zombie paintball, a freaker's ball, a costume party, a ghost hunt, and more. God, the congestion's going to make this even worse. Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention.com for more information.
Yay!
Whew! Oh, that's a rough ride.
All right. June 7th through the 9th, it's Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois. We were just there in October. Lovely little town. Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel is where it will be held. They will be touring Dead Rising, Midnight Terror, Massacre, Basement of the Dead, and Hell's Gate. More about that at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
And we can actually testify to all five of those haunts.
Yes,
they're
awesome.
All great.
Yes.
You will not be disappointed by any of them. Also, while you're in Schaumburg, go to that hot dog place we went to.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was good.
It was good. It's a big chain in the area. It's going to hit me in a minute, I'm very sure. But yeah, and also, Chicago dogs, even though they have no reason to be good... actually are.
We're going to get so much letter. It's so many
James
letters.
James is already writing the letter. I can just hear him.
The Uber driver has tracked us down.
Oh, God.
And told us to get the other style.
Oh, God. But yeah, no. But seriously, it's a really good style of hot dog. You list off the ingredients on it. It sounds like it should be horrible.
Yeah, it sounds like those don't go on a hot dog.
Or with actually, together or anything.
Yeah, but they do. They're good.
It actually does work, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? I mean, I actually enjoyed it. I can't believe I'm saying that publicly, but I am.
Right.
All right. All right, the big news this week, all you really need to know is that a lot of you guys opened up for Valentine's Day. As in, a lot of you.
Yeah. It's really hard whenever there's a holiday that gets openings to find
yeah,
news.
Special openings, yeah.
Yeah. That isn't related to that.
Yeah, it's really a little bit frustrating on our part. We're always on the lookout for haunted attraction news, obviously, because
right.
Trying to make these weeks easier on ourselves as we go through the month. So we save everything. We have a special chat for each other for
exactly.
These types of links. We save them and bookmark them. But yeah, all we've seen in the run-up to this, pretty much, other than the first story, which we're going to have some fun with, I think. But as all we've seen is all these haunts opening up for Valentine's Day, and it includes locally New Orleans Nightmare House, which is the former House of Shock, now owned by 13th Floor, and all 13th Floor haunts are doing this Love Bites thing. It seems like,
It seems like they're required to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there seems to be some requirement aspect. I think is what you is well put. But yeah, they are doing it, and we did not go to New Orleans Nightmare House.
We did not, but we know several people who were planning on it. We haven't seen them since, so we can't confirm whether or not they did.
For us, between us going to the Christmas show, and also speaking with people involved, we got a good feel of what they were going to do for it.
Right.
And then we fell ill. A lot of stuff went down. We couldn't go. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, long story short, a lot of you guys opened up. It's part of the continuing trend of haunts doing more special engagements throughout the year. Now, I know New Orleans Nightmare House, and I know a lot of others, too, are this is their last opening before haunt season. So they're not going to do any midsummer stuff. They're not going to do, like, St. Patrick's Day or New Orleans. I guess Mardi Gras would be appropriate.
Yeah.
We're not going to see any of that. A lot of these places are now starting their tear down and their rebuild going into haunt season, which makes sense.
Yeah, I wonder if, since New Orleans Nightmare House is in New Orleans, if they're obligated to open for the specific holiday of Valentine's, or if they just have to be open that day and they can do it as Mardi Gras instead next
My
year.
Understanding was they had obligations around the theme. That'd be vampire-ish. Do vampire things. Which doesn't really go with New Orleans Nightmare House.
It doesn't, but it would be fun if they could tie Mardi Gras into it.
I would love... We did a Mardi Gras theme once in our haunt, and it was actually pretty baller. I actually really enjoyed that one.
Yes, the crew spelling with the K lends really well to Killer Crew.
Yeah. And our actors went grape nuts over it. It was incredible. They had a great time with it.
Yeah.
We're still picking up Mardi Gras, bits of Mardi Gras streamers and beads out of our haunt all these years later.
Yeah, they're back behind the walls now. Whenever we open the doors, some of them will roll out. Well, they're not in any walking paths.
Well, no.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Well, just today we were doing an interview for a friend of ours is doing a documentary. It's part of a class. We offered our time to him, and it's going to be awesome. I think
we were voluntold.
Yeah, we were voluntold, but it's fine. It's fine. We get voluntold a lot. We're kind of used to that.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there in the doctor's office sequence, and I look over to where the push wall is, and I see a tiny bit of purple paper still stapled to the fucking wall.
Yep.
And I'm like, that shit has lasted 6 years now.
Yeah.
The Killer Crew, I think, was 2012.
Yeah.
Shit has made it over 6 years. That little piece of purple, because we bought that stuff because it was stupid cheap, and we thought it'd be super easy to get up, and we were right.
Yes.
It went up like a dream, but we never thought, how the hell are we going to take it down?
Yeah, it was like this crinkly metallic purple paper
and it just shreds.
It does.
It doesn't come off in like cohesive pieces. Yeah, it's like, yeah, basically it's like trying to peel aluminum foil off your wall.
Yeah.
But that you'd stapled up because you were a dumbass. And didn't really think any of this through. But anyways, we have news. What are we talking about?
Well, I was about to say that's also the year I got in trouble for putting my dad in a pink costume.
Oh, God. I forgot about that part.
He's like, if you ever put me in pink again, I will not work.
He can... he hasn't worked since. But
he has.
But no, he can complain about all the wounds. I saw him acting.
Yeah.
He was having a blast. He cannot lie and say he wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah, but it wasn't the pink. It was just that it was Halloween and it was scaring people. I mean, you know.
Fair enough. He enjoyed the role. All right. So we do have Halloween news. And our first story has been everywhere.
Yes.
So I'll do the first one and then we will pick it up from there. What do you say?
That sounds good.
All right. We're pulling this as an article by Peter Hall at McCall.com. That is actually surprisingly difficult to say. But this story has literally been everywhere. The headline reads, Mom's lawsuit claims fright at Dorney's Halloween haunt caused her daughter injuries.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this. Let's just go through the facts. Maybe we should start with the facts.
Exactly. Let's start with the basics.
Purely a factual reading here. Was Shannon Sacco? Sacco?
I think Sacco.
Sacco. Has filed a lawsuit against Dorney Park and Wildwater Kingdom for injuries her teenage daughter suffered at the park. Now, they went to the park in September 2017. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was during their equivalent of Halloween Horror Nights. They were doing the scare park thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a group of costume characters approached them. The daughter pleaded, saying, I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be scared. They back off. They're cool. They don't want to overscare. And then someone else, probably completely unaware of what's going on because they weren't part of that group, came up from behind, screamed in her ear. She fell down and then, according to the lawsuit, suffered, quote-unquote, severe, permanent, and debilitating injuries. She further claims that she's had to undergo continuing medical treatment, may continue in the future, and claims that she is unable to carry on her usual activities or hold a job. They're suing the park, saying that it disregarded her safety and, quote-unquote, unreasonably startling patrons.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting... Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
One of the interesting wrinkles in this is that the park did sell, and I'm going to assume heavily advertised,
right,
a quote-unquote no boo necklace. I wish I was making up the name.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to bring up too. So there was an option to do that, and it's probably one of those little glow-in-the-dark necklaces.
Yeah, that, like the little kind of like pop and crackle.
Yeah,
and you get
exactly.
It's like the glow stick, but around your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they sell those. She says they were unaware about it. If there's one thing I've learned about haunted attraction theme parks, you're not unaware of any goddamn thing they're selling.
No. No.
This lawsuit drives me bananas. Because usually when we're discussing a haunted attraction that gets sued, we're usually actually on the sue-er side, the plaintiff side. Because it's usually the haunted attraction did something pretty flagrantly stupid.
Right. Yeah, that's the usual type of
thing. I'm usually on your
cover.
Who touched you, Ohio? Who hurt you?
Exactly.
Things like that. I'm not saying things like, God damn, this plaintiff's a moron.
Yeah.
This is actually a resolved issue legally.
Yes, it is.
It's one of the things that I feel pretty confident on. Because previously in other cases, so we have precedent here, it has been determined that when you are on the grounds of a haunted attraction, you are consenting to be scared.
Yes.
Now, let's be clear here. You are not consenting to be assaulted.
No.
Not consenting to be sexually assaulted.
Right.
You are not consenting to be physically harmed, put in an unsafe environment, any of these other things, or have you be treated recklessly. But you are consenting to be scared.
Yeah.
And the case that I'm always reminded of in this was, and they've actually said, and I love this rule, and I love that this is actually in the like legal precedent, because the case we actually talked about in a previous episode of Haunt Weekly, basically a guy was in the parking lot. He'd exited the haunt. He was in the parking lot getting ready to get in his car and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And a chainsaw dude pops out and he trips and falls and damages his ankle in some way.
Yeah.
Okay, it sucks. I never like seeing anyone get hurt at a haunt, obviously. And then it goes for her, too.
Yeah.
This girl, too. But the judge ruled that the haunt decides when the attraction begins and ends.
Yeah.
When you're on the property, you're basically owned by the haunt. They decide what to scare and when to scare and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why until we're in our car leaving, we don't assume that it's over.
Yeah.
In fact, we're always looking for things like that, like the haunt in Mississippi, the terror on the coast.
Yeah.
Whenever you exit that and go all the way
go hiking
through
the woods
lot.
For a quarter of a goddamn mile and feel like...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they decided it ended at the
end
of the building.
And Freaks of Fear did a good job using that.
Right, exactly.
Because they had a long walk back to the parking lot, too. It's kind of a difficult wooded haunt to describe. You kind of go through this wood, and you emerge about, I would say, an eighth of a mile or so.
Yeah.
From where the entrance is.
Right.
And so we're walking back toward the entrance, because that's also where we park.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the actors in the haunt slipped out into... through the trees and managed to jump out. Very good timing.
Yeah.
Well, I heard them coming, so it wasn't a super surprise.
Right.
But I think if the ground had been a little more favorable for them.
Yeah.
Because autumn's a bitch for moving around the woods quietly, is what I'm saying.
It is.
It would have been a perfect scare. It would have been really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah. This one really is frustrating to me because if you don't want to be scared, why are you at a haunted attraction?
Exactly.
What are you there for? Literally, what are you there for?
I don't have an answer to that.
Because there's nothing else there.
No.
I like to go to a haunted attraction. It's like saying, I want to eat a Snickers bar, but I don't like chocolate. Or
yeah.
You know, it's literally core to the experience.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so it's just, I'm reading this. When I first read about this, I'm like, Haunter's Hangout or Haunter's Toolbox mm-hmm. or somewhere. I can't remember. We saw it in all the places eventually.
Yeah, we did.
But I'm reading this going, why were you there if you didn't want to be scared? And if you didn't want to be scared, why didn't you pick up the Nobu necklace?
Exactly.
And I refuse to believe a haunted attraction at a theme park wasn't pimping every little goddamn upcharge it has.
Yep.
I find that amazingly difficult to believe.
It is.
I mean, because haunted houses, that's one thing we are definitely good at is pimping our upcharges.
Yeah, exactly.
We're very good at that across the board in this industry. I have never been to a haunt and been unaware of a potential upcharge.
Yeah, and that would actually be something where if they had the cameras when the girl was buying her ticket. Because I'm sure that at some point they're like, are you wanting the Nobu necklace?
Or they probably walk past like 10 posters for it or something.
Yeah. But security cameras would be useful in this.
Yeah, especially in the ticket booth. But then again, I mean, she went in September 2017. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. A lot of people have been saying that, she waited this late to file. That doesn't mean squat.
No, it doesn't.
With these things, especially when there's medical bills, you typically have to wait until mm-hmm. you've accrued as much of the medical expenses as you can to file the lawsuit.
Right.
So if she has injured herself somehow badly enough to require ongoing medical, she has to be able to get a handle of how bad it is and how much it's going to cost.
Right. And there's also, you know, there's a limit to when you can file.
And there's a statute of limitations on
exactly.
these things. I'm going to suspect it's right around 2 years.
It is. That is typically in most states, 2 years is the accidental injury.
And you would know having worked in the law office.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that she would file right around now. Yep. In fact, if anything, she might be a little early in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that the attorney I worked for would wait until the day before it was due, before it was about to go
dead. The delay doesn't mean anything because, like I said, there are plenty of valid reasons for delaying a lawsuit, especially when you're dealing with medical bills that are ongoing.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be as simple as a tactic on her attorney's part to say, hey, it's been 2 years. Maybe they don't have any record of what actually happened. Maybe they've gotten rid of their security footage.
So that is something for haunts to think about.
Yeah.
Look up your local state statute of limitations on accidental injury and related claims.
Right.
And make that your camera retention policy.
Yeah. I would add plus a year at
least. Plus a year maybe, yeah. Just to be safe. And that's a good thing to talk to your lawyer about.
Yeah.
Find out the relevant laws, how long they can wait. And because, like you said, if Dorney Park here purges their security camera footage every year, which might seem like a perfectly reasonable amount of time.
Right.
In fact, it might even seem long unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have evidence. There might be evidence that's gone. Now, that doesn't frown upon them, as we know from discussing with Ellie. As long as that's your ordinary practice and it's something you've always been doing, it's not a matter of destroying evidence either.
Oh, no, no,
it doesn't
it's
go
not.
Against the park.
No.
But I think here's a case where the evidence would really help the park, and they would probably want it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that is all part of your policy. If your policy is to do something across the board, then it's usually legal to do it across the board.
Yeah.
Because not only according to Ellie, but there's a lot of HR law that deals with how records are stored and kept.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, so as long as it is policy, like I-9s, as long as you have all of your I-9s electronically, you don't have to keep a hard copy. But if you keep one hard copy, then you have to keep all hard copies.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
So, yeah. Some solid advice. Consult with your attorney on this stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Neither of us are experts. This is definitely not an area of law I'm an expert in.
Yeah.
But
I've just had to work with them. That's the only reason I know
anything
about it.
But, yeah, it's something to think about. But, yeah, I've been trying to wrap my head around. I don't like being scared. I don't want to be scared. I'm going to the haunted amusement park.
Not unless she, you know, was pressured by her friends, then at which point, wasn't she suing her friends?
Yeah, the whole thing is just absolutely bananas to me.
Yeah.
And most likely, because we've seen in other cases, like with the parking lot case I described, a guy tripped in the parking lot. That one seemed much dicier because it was in the parking lot rather than the haunt.
Yeah.
Here, this is a perfectly normal scare in a screen park.
Right. It's not like she was on stairs or something.
No. There doesn't appear to be anything reckless done. I mean, no, I don't want to see anyone get hurt going through a haunt.
No.
Any injury, no matter how silly, hurts the industry in some small way.
Yeah, and it's not just silly. It's if a person takes it seriously, then...
Well, no matter how silly it came about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even if it was as simple as I got behind someone and they tripped and fell on their own ankles and hurt themselves.
Right.
Yeah. It's a serious injury to them. But it's not something that the haunt really can plan for, you know?
Yeah.
When you're scaring people, they're going to sometimes do crazy and unpredictable things, and courts have repeatedly said that as long as you don't provide an unsafe environment or aren't reckless about it,
right,
you're going to be okay.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping and I'm assuming that's what happens here, because here's the thing. If the court comes in favor of this girl, the entire haunt industry could be in trouble.
Yeah, they could be.
So,
we could be.
It seems silly. It seems ridiculous, and it has been the source of much mocking in the haunters groups.
Yeah.
But do keep an eye on it. We're going to.
Yeah.
I don't think the odds of this meaning anything long term are low.
Right, and also whenever you're mocking, just remember that someone was
actually injured
and. Yeah, they made a bad choice to go somewhere where they were going to get scared if they didn't want to get scared.
But that didn't mean they deserved to be hurt.
Exactly.
Especially with apparently some kind of life-altering injury, which I fell down.
I will find out. I am looking forward to getting a follow-up on this whenever there is one available.
I want
more info.
I have fallen down so many times from a standing position.
Yeah.
It is not funny. I probably should get that checked out.
Probably.
But, But I have never managed to have a life-altering injury from it. So
no.
I want more details. There's a lot of unknowns here.
Yeah.
Let's move on, though.
Okay. So the next article is about the town Joliet is talking about negotiating their prison deal again. Their prison is up in negotiations for a new firm to take over it. They're not saying who it is. It went out to lots of different bids. This is the one that Evil Intentions was working on a project to buy.
In 2018, yeah.
Yeah, in 2018, and revitalize that didn't come through. But they've got someone else that they say is interested. They do say that the unnamed firm has haunted attractions and that they're a big national player.
Which that kind of limits the number of companies it theoretically could be.
It does. It makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the article doesn't have a lot of information. It's just another, hey, we're still trying to lock down a buyer for this place.
Well, what I find really weird about this is, okay, 2018, Evil Intentions won some kind of contract to take it over and make it into a haunted house.
Right.
For various reasons, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's anybody's fault, really. It seemed like Evil Intentions mm-hmm. couldn't pull together the needed resources, and that more resources were needed than they thought, and there was just a bunch of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Okay. So town, but the whole thing with Evil Intentions was controversial because a couple other area haunts said, hey, we didn't even get a chance to make a proposal.
Right.
So they come back and they do, late last year, they do a request proposal, an RFP, and they submitted to 30 prospects.
Mm-hmm.
So a pretty good number, in my opinion, pretty good number yeah. of prospects. However, the owner of Statesville Prison, one of the two people that objected mm-hmm. to Evil Intentions getting that contract, was apparently not included.
Which is pretty interesting, considering they had said, hey,
no.
what's up?
Well, they said basically they sent out 30 RFPs, but not to the person who's closest and most appropriate, I'm reading in Ellie language. Wow. For what they want to do. And that's a damn good question, because mm-hmm. that area... That area around Chicago, as we know, is filled with haunted attractions. Like right. a crazy amount of haunted attractions geographically close to each other. And long story short, Statesville is one of the big ones. Now, Zombie Army Productions operates it. I'm trying to remember the language.
Yeah.
Operates it, but they don't own it.
Right.
They're not the owners. They own Hell's Gate.
Yes.
And I would be surprised if they're not somehow involved in this.
Yeah.
Or at least sending an RFP.
Yeah.
But, long story short, the owner of Statesville Prison was shut out again.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're not saying who they're negotiating with. There actually was a FOIA request, or Freedom of Information Act request, sent. They denied it, saying they're not obligated to say anything until after the deal is signed.
Yeah. Guess what? It's another 13th floor.
Probably, honestly, at this juncture. That's what the clues point to. I feel like yeah. we're playing that game where like you get the outline of the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Watch this Pokemon! I suck at that game.
Yeah, that's because we never were into it.
Never, not much Pokemoning, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, moving on. I did like this one. This was actually a really interesting article. We're pulling this from Jennifer Ayuette at Ars Technica. Danish haunted house studies seek to reveal the seductive appeal of horror. Now, this is a paper done by Matthias Klassen at Aarhus University. Aarhus in the middle. I'm probably yeah. Aarhus, but anyways, it's going to be Aarhus because it amuses me.
Yes.
In Denmark, published a paper entitled Why Horror Seduces. Basically, he performed an experiment with 280 participants, putting them in the Dystopia haunted house. And I cannot pronounce that town name, Denmark.
Yes.
Denmark.
It's a V name.
It's a V name. It has a J and some other letters in there. It's really common. It's short, but Velge. Yeah, I think Velge might be your best bet.
Velge is how an American would pronounce it.
Yes. Yeah. We going to the Velge? But anyways, on the way in, he asked him, hey, what's your coping strategy for while you're in there? Were they going to attempt to maximize fear and minimize it? They talked about white knucklers who are mm-hmm. just like clinging and trying to get through the haunt versus adrenaline junkies who are trying to get amped as much as possible as they go through.
Right.
And basically what he discovered is that there is a sweet spot for fear between too much fear and not enough fear. Mm-hmm. And I think every haunter in the world went, duh.
Yeah.
I could have done this paper for a lot less.
Yes, but now it's scientifically
now
backed.
It's scientific, yes. Peer-reviewed and everything from the looks of it.
Yeah.
The paper goes on to say that horror and horror-related things about letting people explore the darker side of humanity in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And also people get to practice coping methods to test their limits and become stronger. As he says, it doesn't make us fearless, but better at regulating and managing fear.
Yeah.
So think of it as practice for an actual disaster or an actual, you know, incident where you need to have that focus and that amp, you know what I mean? That adrenaline going and be able to channel it.
Yeah.
So it's a practice round.
Mm-hmm.
That's also fun.
Yeah.
And I honestly love this study, and I wish some haunts would understand the sweet spot mentality.
Yeah.
Because we're in the goddamn entertainment industry, people. If people aren't happy and entertained when they leave, they're not coming back.
No.
So, yeah, you know, we're in the entertainment business, and finding that sweet spot where you scare people to their limit but not past it.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing when you can do that.
Yeah, and you've got to give people a little bit of time to recover between scares.
Yeah. You know. If it's just boom, 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 yeah, you're not getting anywhere.
Unless you're like 4 minutes long.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, with ours, you get the break at the end. See, that's the beautiful thing about being like a 2 to 5 minute haunt is we can go attack, 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 attack because they are out in about 200 linear feet.
Yeah.
Or so. So they're out in 2 to 5 minutes, depending upon the group.
Yeah.
And that's their break. They're done.
Yeah.
We really can go all out.
Yeah.
Because the break's at the end. But if we had a bigger haunt, we would have to include these breaks manually
exactly.
in it. Luckily, we don't have that problem.
Nope. Just saying.
Just saying, y'all.
Just saying, because we've had some people come through and see. So.
Yep.
So don't listen to us about that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So this next one's going to be fun.
Yay!
Legoland Windsor is unveiling a new haunted house attraction for 2019. And this article is by Matt Joy at the Slough and South Bucks Observer.
It's British. It's a British paper. Don't worry about it. Just move on.
Anyway, it's going to be a haunted house monster party that'll open April 13th. It'll feature a dark ride with Lego characters and ghouls. And, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Annual passes will be available for it.
Yeah, they're actually dropping the price of the annual pass in honor of its opening. It's normally £89, which is I forgot to do the fucking conversion before I got in here. I think that's like $100 pretty much dead, and mm-hmm. £60, which I believe is closer to like $68.
And we'll see if any of that changes March
29th. No, yeah, so. Wait a minute. You got a point there. But it looks like this is going to be a comedy horror ride aimed at kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to involve scary elements and spooky things, but it's also going to be kind of funny and comical, too.
Yeah.
And I think that is awesome and beautiful, because how are you going to get kids interested in haunted attractions and horror and all the stuff that we love? That this is the stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, my dad, me being one of the weird exceptions, don't have their first roller coaster be the biggest, baddest mofo in the Southeast.
Right.
My dad is a terrible human being, by the way. I should probably mention that. When I was 12, I said I wanted to go on a roller coaster. And he's like, all right. And he took me to the pavilion at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and told me it ain't there no more story. Unfortunately, it's all gone now. Got me on the giant wooden roller coaster there. I found out later it had the steepest drop of any wooden coaster in the Southeast, I think it was.
Yeah.
At the time, it was giant. And I had no concept of roller coaster scale at the time. I should have just ridden the goddamn Scooby-Doo roller coaster at Carowinds or some crap. But
yeah.
But I didn't. And that was my very first roller coaster experience, and I have not forgiven my dad or restored all trust in him since.
But you do enjoy
I do love roller coasters, though. So maybe we should make up.
Yeah. Maybe.
All right. Well, while we're talking about Lego, because this amused me, Lego is also releasing a new series of sets that will feature augmented reality and create a new quote-unquote spooky world.
Mm-hmm.
This article is by Stuart Miles at Pocketland. Basically, the sets will include a laboratory, a graveyard, a yellow school bus, and a giant haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And the long story short is you build the sets as you do with Lego.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
part
you take
of the
out
fun.
Your phone and use the app, and you get an augmented reality experience that tells a spooky story about them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see ghosts coming out, characters running scared, and things like that. All the sets draw some degree of influence from Stranger Things, which I found to be pretty interesting. It will require a modern phone to work. Basically, the article says anything newer than an iPhone 6S.
Mm-hmm.
And while that, you know, while most of us adults probably have a phone much more recent than that. You and I both do, even though we've chosen not to update our phones this cycle.
Right.
We still do. But a lot of kids may not, because kids typically get the hand-me-downs of the hand-me-downs on phones.
I don't know. The parents that I know buy their kids the new ones, and they keep the old ones.
If you do that, you're horrible. I know you love your kids, but you're horrible. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Anyway. Oh, well, I can hear the keyboards firing up. Tick, 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 tick. You dare call me horrible.
Yes. Yes, now we're going to get all the letters for another reason.
Yes.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, God. Well, Jabe's just finished his.
Yes, well, now he's writing another because he's a dad.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Anyways, it will be available both in iOS and Android. The sets will be released in late summer, 2019. And I just got to say, the Haunted House set would probably make the article alone. Because it looks pretty bad. It made the news alone because it's very badass looking.
Yeah, it does. It looks really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing, like, if they do updates to the software and stuff. They do push to introduce new characters and keep it fresh, basically.
And I think this is a good idea for Lego in particular, because Lego is kind of pricey. Let's be honest.
Yeah, a little.
A little pricey. And the reason is because it's such precision built bricks, and I get that there's a very valid reason why it's as expensive as it is, but you can't really increase, you know, the price because you're already kind of at that threshold.
Yeah.
And so this is a way to offer more value for the price you have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. All right.
I think it's fun, and it should be interesting to. I want to see if they start doing augmented reality stuff for, like, just regular brick houses. Like, it's not, you know, so that if you show your phone on it, it turns it into a different setting.
Well, and one of the reasons I included this is I think this is something haunted attractions should really start looking into.
At least keeping an eye on it, because it's the new thing.
This could be, and it's also something that you can do relatively inexpensively at the end of the day. The price of this is going to come down. It's a digital good.
Yeah.
And it's a way to add a new experience to your haunt.
Right.
Like, I could see, like New Orleans Nightmare House or any front of, like, a really robust front of house have an AR experience where you hold your phone up and you see things in the windows or stuff coming out of the chimneys or whatever.
Yeah. Or you play, like, a Ghostbuster type game and you try to catch the ghost with your phone.
Yeah. There's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah.
So I can see this being a thing for haunts, too.
Okay.
It is Haunt Weekly, after all. We do have to bring it back around.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
it was about haunted houses.
Yeah, it was about the haunted house Lego sets enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, next story is an article by Dwayne Bevel of the Orlando Sentinel. Basically, right now through June 5th, if you are planning on going to Halloween and Horror Nights, you can buy one night and get the second for free. It does exclude Saturdays. Tickets are $81.99 per person. Run will be from September 6th through November 1st. So a total of 41 nights for you to take this deal in.
And the same person does have to use the ticket both nights. I'm guessing they're checking ID or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
you can't just go in halvesies with your buddy.
Right, no. No, they want you to come back twice. Which, from what I've heard and what I've seen, is pretty typical. But if you're looking for a deal and already planning on going multiple nights, definitely check this out.
That's the smart thing about it, is Halloween and Halloween, you got me saying it now. Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios has gotten so big that it's pretty much impossible to do it in one night.
Yeah.
And so this is your pass to basically, hopefully, fit everything in, especially since you'd be going on two slower nights.
Right.
You'd be going like a Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, or something like that. Or I guess you could do Friday, Sunday, or Thursday, Sunday.
Do they have to be sequential?
I don't think they have to be sequential. It did not indicate. They just exclude Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could go beginning and end of season and compare.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
You know,
double check that before you go off and do it.
Yeah. Look at the actual rules when you're buying it. But if you could do that, that would be cool.
Yeah. Now, there's also a deal being offered for if you're traveling to it. Basically, a four-night stay with tickets will start at $145 per night, which could be a hell of a good deal. And you'll be staying at the Surfside Inn, which is actually at a park that's under construction. So, but apparently the hotel is done.
Right.
But yeah, they also did announce there will be 10 mazes and 5 scare zones. They did not name any names at this time. Mm-hmm. So our usual trickle of one announcement every month has not begun yet. But like I said, the main story here is between now and June 5th, if you're going to HHN and planning on going for two nights, buy your goddamn tickets now.
Yes, exactly.
That's the crux of it. That's why we put this in here. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this one really is a fascinating idea to me. This is an article by Scott Wampler at birth.death.movies. Birth Death Movies. It's a cool-looking site. I got to check this more out on the site. But basically, in Los Angeles, a new... And it's kind of tough to describe. I don't want to call it a haunted attraction, but new exhibition?
Yeah, I think it's more of an art...
Art exhibition art, type thing, but still.
Art experience.
Art experience. It's called I Like Scary Movies. And it will feature recreated movie sets from It, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Shining, Beetlejuice, The Lost Boys, and more. Now, it's not a haunted attraction. There won't be people popping out to scare you. You're not roaming through and getting spooked by ghouls or whatever. But you are encouraged to roam around, take photos, immerse yourself in these sets.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, sort of be in the movie for a minute.
Right.
Now, according to the press release, it's the best films from Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema, and it is clearly licensed because they had the audacity to put Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema logos on the poster.
Right.
So either they got a license, or they are about to get sued like hell.
And if they do, we'll cover it here.
I feel pretty confident this is licensed, though.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in that. But yeah, it's not a haunted attraction, but there's all these iconic sets from all these iconic from all these movies. And you can go walk around them. It will open in April 2019. It didn't have an exact date. But you can go to ilikescarymoviesexperience.com for more information. And I'd read somewhere when I was researching this that after it closes in Los Angeles, it may become a traveling thing. So maybe keep an eye out for it. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't in this article. So I can't 100% confirm that. Yeah. But if it does, that would be awesome. And maybe it will come to a town near us.
Yeah, and I can actually see, because we were just talking about AR, I could see it working here where, you know, you take out your phone and
you get
see,
like movie and you see the people.
Exactly, or little like pop-up video type things about, this is where blah, blah, blah happened.
And, that could be interesting,
Interesting trivia about the movie as you're going through the set.
Yeah.
That would be really fun, actually. So now I think that this should also be like applied to museums. You know,
yeah, museums would do well with AR, but
yeah, it's also not what we're talking about.
Yeah, no,
because we're Haunt Weekly.
Welcome to Museum Weekly.
Yeah, no. All right, so our last story this week comes from Colin Wolf at the Orlando Sentinel, and it's about a year-round Halloween bar that's coming to downtown Orlando, and that's the story.
Yeah,
they're going to get a Halloween bar.
Well, it's located at 39 Pine Street, which apparently was the former location of the 39 Pine Street Bar.
All right.
Which confused the hell out of me reading that article. But long story short, they are They already have a year-round Christmas bar in downtown Orlando. Now they're getting a year-round Halloween bar. It's from the people behind Joysticks, which is an arcade-themed bar elsewhere in Orlando. Mm-hmm. They've not announced the definitive opening date, but they are providing regular updates on Facebook and Instagram. And they have a neat little bar graph that shows
progress. Yeah, I did like that graph. That was cool.
Like they said, like they're at 100% demolition. They're halfway to opening, and
yeah,
it's got all the
65% constructing.
Yeah, and it's been 35% decorated and whatnot. It was really, really cool.
It's like the Domino's tracker for your pizza, yeah, exactly, for but the bar.
Yeah, I could use Domino's tracker for a couple of bars. I'm saying,
yeah.
But yeah, it looks really cool, and this has been all over the Haunters groups because a lot of people in the area are silly excited about this.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do like more holiday-themed bars in that area and just make it like a holiday area, you know?
You know, if they're all in like walking distance of each other,
yeah,
you could have literally a holiday bar crawl.
Yeah, you could. And if you do that, you have to put the tree...
Mm-hmm.
The trees in the middle so that you can see each one that Jack Skellington goes through in the movie. You have to have the trees.
Yes, the trees from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Okay, you were confusing the hell out of me.
I know.
You had completely lost the plot.
I know. I got excited by the idea and then I lost words.
What else is news?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know. This is news. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been talking about.
News! Oh, man. But yeah. No, it looks completely cool, but I'm sitting here thinking, we have a year-round Halloween bar.
I know.
Right on Decatur Street.
I've thought about that, too. Yeah, we do. Antiques.
Yeah. Antiques, yeah. I know it doesn't sound like a Halloween bar.
No, it sounds like it should have, like, rum drinks and coconuts and stuff.
And tropical stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, it should be all tropical,
but
it's not.
It's a Halloween bar.
Yeah, I've never had I'm sure someone out there has an explanation for why a bar named Antiques.
Yeah.
Is a Halloween bar.
I think it's because it's next to the antique shop that has, like, dead
cool
animals.
Cool horror stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best explanation I've heard.
That's so the only reason I can come up with.
That sounds good to me.
No.
So, yeah, this has been a pretty weird month. I mean, the lawsuit has been what's really dominated the news this week.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this month, this month. And I felt really bad because it came out, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like, damn it, we don't really get to dive into it for another 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right after the last news cycle.
Yeah.
But no, going back to Antiques just 1 second. We should totally go down to the French Quarter and take photos of the bar at some point.
Yeah, we should.
So we could post them.
Yeah, both the outside and inside.
Yeah.
If they'll let us take photos inside.
I'm sure they will.
Because it is like ridiculously Halloween themed. It is.
Yeah.
OTT Halloween, skeletons everywhere.
Yeah, skeletons and bats
and
vampires,
red lights,
oh my.
And red rope lights and all this. Yeah, it's Halloween themed to the max. But yeah, we should definitely get some photos of that and post it here. We can't do that this coming.
No.
But maybe another week and we'll be able to get down there and spin through real fast.
Yeah.
Cause it's actually not that bad for us to get to it.
No.
Thanks to the ferry.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the news I have that's fit to print. Do you have anything else that you heard or anything else I might have omitted?
Not that I can think of.
The only other story I really found was apparently an abandoned haunted house caught fire in San Antonio. But since it was an abandoned haunt, it was an empty building, basically, that just happened to have been a haunt at one time. Didn't really seem appropriate.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, we didn't cover that, but I did read about it, if anyone's wondering.
Yes, it was the ghost of the haunted house past that started it.
Well, the funniest thing about that article was that apparently the bar next door, which also caught fire, at least the patio area did, has been famous recently for a mural dedicated to the rapper Drake.
Uh-huh.
And apparently everyone was super happy the mural survived.
Yeah, I could see why.
It's like, okay, I get it. It's just still a lot of shit got burned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's fires are no fun.
Fires are no fun for anyone. This is why fire protection and fire suppression is important.
Yes. Well, uncontrolled fires.
Yes, uncontrolled fires are no fun. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for spending the past hour with us. I hope you don't feel like it was a total waste of your time. Please send us all your hate mail for me calling you horrible. You can do that at hauntweekly.com. We have a contact form. It will actually reach us. You can also find us at Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Once again, all previous episodes are available there. And of course, we're always available on Google, iTunes, Stitcher, all the places to find our podcasts are distributed. They haven't kicked us out yet. No one's quite sure why or how.
Yep.
But, Crystal's getting the laptop out again. Is there anything else?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You make me antsy when you do that at the end.
Sorry.
It's like, oh, she thought of something. Hang on.
No. I was just checking to see how many reactions I've gotten to the new photos that I took because I've been busy this weekend.
All right.
The parade stuff.
She's all Facebooking and everything. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 168, doing the January-February 2019 news. We will see you guys next time.